Shos Arech on page Pei Gimel. The Rebbe's teaching us how to learn Chumash. How to learn Chumash in a way that it changes us, that makes a Roshim on us, and it becomes something which is real. Many times I mentioned here over the years how it says in the Svar Makadosh that when the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, when it would be Shvi Shal Pesach and Meshbiz, the Baal Shem Tov would sing the Shira. So when he would say the Shira and davening, it was so real to everybody that they say that Meshbiz, they used to pick up their coats not to get wet when they were crossing through, because they felt that their mom was going through Kriyas Yamsuf. And when we're learning this here, when we're reading this together, so feels like we're back in Mitzrayim, or we're leaving Mitzrayim, and we should be having the masses on our shoulders and having the abrakaisis. It feels so clear to us the way the Rebbe is describing it, and really just going through this together to get a taste of how a tzaddik learns Chumash, and the same thing that we've always seen in our lives, we just never really saw it this way. So on Peg Gimel, on the bottom, HaMitzriyim Leizochus Gadlus Yisrael. HaMitzriyim Leizochus Gadlus Yisrael. What we saw last week is that it was like such a scary foreshadowing of the events that were going to be coming pretty soon in the Rebbe's life. It was very, very scary. It continues. HaMitzriyim Leizochus Gadlus Yisrael. The Egyptians didn't remember as godless Yisrael. They didn't remember the greatness of Yisrael, and who they really are, and where they come from, that they're B'nai Melachim, that they're the children of kings, and that they themselves are royal people, B'nai Melachim Haim. The Gamine Yisrael, Migoydal Tzareseihem, Es Atzman Vezrucham Hetzil, Ha'atzil, Shachachu. And the worst thing of all, not just that the Egyptians forgot who we really are, but that Yisrael, the Jewish people themselves, forgot. That we forgot ourselves as Atzma, because of the Tzaris, as Atzma Vezrucham Ha'atzil. That we forgot ourselves, and we forgot our noble spirit, who we are, Shachu Vayu La'avodim Nishbarim Shfeilim. And we became broken and low slaves. Many times we spoke about this, also in the parashis of Shmos, the beginning of Shabbos morning, we're talking about this. There's a Torah from the Beis Yaakov, and the Ishbitz says that, it says, the din is bala matzah, if a person swallows the matzah without really tasting the taste of the matzah, he's yaitzah the din of achilas matzah. But bala maror, if a person swallows the maror without tasting it, so then he's not yaitzah. You have to taste the bitterness. So the Ishbitz has said that the worst thing is when a Jew doesn't taste the bitterness of galus, so he doesn't taste the bitterness of being an eved, that it becomes so much a part of him, he gets so used to it that it doesn't taste bitter anymore. Bala mara lo yatsa. He says if a person swallows the mara without tasting it, so then he'll never leave. Lo yatsa, he'll never leave Mitzrayim. He'll never feel that he has to leave Mitzrayim. He'll never leave the bitterness of his aveiros or of his distance from Hashem's book, because he doesn't taste bitter to him. It tastes, it's okay. This is how life is. So if you feel that that's how life is and it's not bitter to you, so then layotza, you'll never be yaitza, you'll never feel the urgency to leave. You'll get stuck. Balamara layotza. So what the Rebbe is saying here, and he speaks about this also in the Eish Kodesh, when he describes what was happening there. We see through the years. Through those years of the fire, of what was going on in the ghetto, we see how the people were the way that the Rebbe describes the changes over that short time in Warsaw, how it wasn't just the increased suffering and misery, but the decreased self-awareness and feeling of that feeling that the Jews always had of being regal, of being holy, of being special, of being different and exalted. And that was the tachlis of the Germans Yimach Shemam, the Avaida, was to take away from us that feeling, and they were largely successful. So that's what the Rebbe says over here. It's not only that the Egyptians forgot who we are, that we're B'nai Melachim, but that the Yidden themselves forgot Rucham Ha'atzil, the noble spirit. Vayulav Adon Nishbar. It's one thing if a person is an Eved and he's being beaten and tortured, but in himself he's screaming and he's protesting. At least there's a Mechon. Like it said in the Svar Makadosh, you know, the Din, the Gemara Bava Basra, with Chazakis, that we know that if a person at least he protests and he says, this belongs to me, so at least by protesting, he's claiming ownership. So when a person inside of himself is protesting the humiliation, he's protesting the beatings and the shame, so then it means that he's still a balabas over himself. But if a person is no longer protesting that, and this is what happens when people are abused, Hashem Yochim, that at some point they just stop protesting. There's no mechor, because they lose bilus over themselves. They no longer have themselves. So we became avadim nishbarim, tzibrachne slaves, shvelim, we became low. Heim bebeisav em hayu lemim hem v'akshor shal menucha shuv ruach ha'adinus v'amalchi shuv yisraim v'kam. But if there would be an hour of quiet and they'd be able to be home, so then they would be able to regain somehow a little bit of that ruach of adinus, of edelkeit and malchus and of royalty, shabayis roimim v'kam, to lift himself up, ubefrat b'shabazis, especially as we know that towards the end of Golus Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to be poil, that we had Shabbos off. At Shabbos we were able to be away from the fields, away from the work, and be able to be in the home. So ubefrat b'shabazis, kishakarus amagilas ashabiyadams, Chazal tell us that what did they have to learn on Shabbos? What did they on Shabbos? They used to read Megillas that they had. That they had Megillas with all the stories of the Avos and who they were. And they would take out these Megillas and they would read about Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, so Rikaroch Halei, about the Shvatim, and this is who our Zayd is, and Bobby's, this is who we are, and this is the kind of people that we, this is the true surah of our people. So they used to on Shabbos, b'fabr Shabbos, k'shav karos on Megillas, k'shav yodam avosayim, shashem yigolim. And in these Megillas, they read the promise. They read the promise that there's going to be redemption. It's something like us, except as we spoke, and it's different because everybody wears suits and they get paid and stuff like that. But the besides that, it's pretty much the same. He says, "Hayakol echad b'sroim mazruach ha'azel nirakiv en melech." And when they would read these Megillas, and the Megillas would tell who and remind them of who they really are, and who we come from. Like the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said that all the errors that a Jew does is only because he forgets that he's a ben melech. That's the Baal Shem Tov said. The only way that a Jew could do an error is that he forgets that he's a prince. He forgets where he comes from. It's the only way it's possible to do an aveir. If a person would remember that he's a ben melech, he wouldn't. So on Shabbos, a Jew could remember that he's a ben melech. And we used to read these Megillas and the promise of Geula. And everybody was a hisraimus ruach, ha'otzel nirik ben melech. And on Shabbos, everybody was lifted up again to feel like a ben melech and to feel that nobility. And it's a shavi ben shadidim proim. We all felt like B'nai Malachim, like a prince that was trapped among crazy, wild thieves, among Shaita the Prophet, among thugs and criminals. That's how we felt. Shabbos, when we would be lifted up to a higher place, we would look at ourselves and say, what are we doing? Let's look at us. What are B'nai Malachim doing in this place? A person has to think like that. When you go on the train, if you go to work and you go to these places, again, even though the Shaydidim Purim might be dressed nicer, although not really. Or the Shaydid and Purim talk nicer. A Jew has to see himself in such a way that he's Mamish Ben Melech Animsa Shavui Ben Shaydid and Purim. Ben Shaydid and Purim. There's a mashal in the Zohar Kaddish that we've seen over the years about how the Vershal. This is half beyosim beheretz avim leimaastim ulogaltim lechaloisam. Lechaloisam means that the Zohar brings a marshal of a basmalach that she's stuck in a place, a shuk shabursakim. The Zohar says it's a market for tanning. You know, where they tan the skins. The skinner's market. It's the worst smell, terrible, terrible, disgusting odors with the skins from the animals. So it says, so the Zohar Kaddish says, Af be'yosim be'eretz oyveihem, even though you're in the land of your enemy, lo ma'astim lo ga'altim, I'm not disgusted with you. I'll never be disgusted with you. Even though you're sitting with all the fashtunkene things. Why? L'chaloisam. So the Zohar says, because you're my kala. L'chaloisam means to destroy you. But Chazal, you're not in the Zohar. Make that the word l'chaloisam is a kala. Because you're my kala. So the Zohar says it's a marshal of a kala of the Shuk Shal Bursikim, the whole Metzias of Klal Yisrael and Golis. And Golis means before Mashiach comes, because this is also in Tel Aviv and Ramat Gan and other places also. Even in Eretz Yisrael, where people are forgetting what it means to be a Jew. So then Hashem still sees us as a kala of Shuk Shal Bursikim. And a person has to feel that way. Person has to feel that I'm a ben melech hanimsa shavui ben shaydid in Purim. You should think that if you go on the train. On Long Island Railroad, it's harder to think that if you go on the IRT, it's for sure not, it's not hard. But a person has to think about it. Stam, wherever he is in this world, when he's not with his people, and he's not Isaac and Dvarim Shakadusha, he has to see himself as a ben melech hanimsa shavui ben shaydid in Purim. Which is also marshal, that's from the Zohar Kaddish. Avakasha Rak Holach Achutza. When he would go outside, so they had this respite on Shabbos. They had a little on Shabbos, they were able to come back to themselves a little bit. Just like we try to have that Hischaskis on Shabbos, to come back to oneself. But when a Yid would go outside, just to walk outside, and he would go see that what? A disgusting, filthy Egyptian, someone who cleans the filth or cleans the garbage, such a filthy, disgusting Egyptian that even a dog wouldn't go near that Egyptian. And yet, what would this Egyptian do? This Egyptian, who even a dog wouldn't go near, would laugh at the Jew, would mock the Jew, would make fun of the Jew. And he would curse the Jew. And this disgusting Mitzri, he wasn't even worthy of a dog's friendship. So this Mitzri would go and beat up a Jew and make fun of a Jew. V'gami Marchas HaShabbos. So that was on Shabbos, so the Jew walked outside. And then the next day, V'gami Marchas HaShabbos, Sunday morning, Ba'ashmeres HaBoker, early in the morning, Kashanirash Mikol Hanoiges Haritseach Hatsereach Kechaisa Yar. Next page. Haltarfa Lahakimul Abadosa. The slave masters used to go, the murderers, the animals, these wild beasts, these Gestapo that were in Mitzrayim, they would go in a crazy way to wake up, to scream and yell for all the Jews to go to work. So what would happen? So Nomas Ruach Ha'otzil Ashaboy. Then that Ruach of Atzilus, that Ruach of nobility, that Shabbos Dikir Ruach, would melt. And the Shmosai Parachim, and the Neshama would flutter away. that neshama that one day of the week a Jew had, he had that neshama back. So then it would disappear. Vishuv eved nishbar mimenu nisha. And what was left? Again, a broken slave. It's a brachna slave. I told you last week, I should think about the possibility of trying to do this, to say that just the two nights of Pesach, you could to do this with the family. You'll save a lot of money on all the new Haggadahs that are coming in. Even though it's nice to always have a new Haggadah, but you could do this and just go through it and work it through and just share it with the mishpacha to have a hergish of what it was like to be in Mitzrayim. Right soon when he describes Yitzis Mitzrayim, we're all gonna feel like getting up and running out like the Maisa with the cousin Samagid, you know, with that guy that came to him, the Jewish soldier, but Beduyim Letzion Berina, you know that Maisa?
No,
there's a Gevaldik Maisa. There was a, you know, in those days in Russia, they had these cantonists. You know, those were the Russians would take Jewish boys, 13, 14 years old, they would take them out from the house and take them to the army for 20 years. They were gone. And they lost everything. They lost the Yiddish, because they were taken away for 20 years. There was a terrible Xeris. So, there was once by the cousin Samagit. Is anybody that speaks Russian over here? Because otherwise I don't say it right. I don't have that one person that speaks Russian.
Nobody will know.
Mister, huh?
Nobody will know.
What?
Nobody will know.
Oh, okay. So no one will know that I'm not saying it. Okay. So there was by the cousin of Magid, they were just coming. The Magid just came back from Shul Pesach night. He meant the holiest time of the year, and this guy comes, and a soldier comes, a Jewish soldier, banging on the door. And he says, and they get scared, but they see right away he's a Yid. You know, he's one of these guys. Says, he speaks Yiddish. He remembers Yiddish. So he comes, and he says, the cousin of Magid opens the door, and he looks at him, and he says, and the soldier says, Yisroelik. And the cousin of Magid, Yisroel. He says, Yisroelik. So they Yisroelik. So the cousin of Magid says, yeah, Yisroelik. So he says, I want to eat here the Seder. So this is like people were dying to be able to look through the window because it's a market Pesach, right? So I want to eat here the Seder. So that group of chassidim that were chosen that year, they were very upset. This guy was like a prosta guy, you know? But the cousin of market saw that he's one of these Jews. So he said, oh, of course, come. So he comes in, and it was terrible. He was staring the whole Seder. He was kept on, you know, because of the Magid with his Haggadah and with his saying. So this, he kept on, he says, Shrulik, I'm hungry! Shrulik, I'm hungry! The whole time. And then when they take out, when they put out some, you know, they put out a little bit, they put out, you know, they put out some of the, you know, some radishes or some celery, whatever they put out there a little bit. So he starts grabbing it and he starts, they say, you have to be less than a kazayis, he's grabbing everything. And then it was a matzah, and everything he was taking and stuffing himself, and the whole time he was laughing, and then he was saying, more food, no more talking, no more praying, it's enough already. Stop hacking me, you know. This is by the Kodesh Samagid Seder. So then this is the whole time, and the Chassidim wanted to throw him out, and they kept on looking at the Rebbe, and the Rebbe had like Nahas Ruch, and there's nothing they could do. So finally it was already. By it was coming towards the end of the Seder, and it was by Nirtza, and by Nirtza, and the cousin Samagid asked him, whatever the guy's name is, Yosel, he says, do you remember anything? Do you remember something? Psanigin, something you must remember from the Seder, from your family, when you were a little boy. Do you remember anything? So he says, I remember that they used to sing at the end of the Seder, and my father used to sing something. So now we, of course, what's at the end by Chasal Seder Pesach is Peduyim Letzion Berina, right? Mm-hmm. That means that the captains, those who were in captivity, Peduyim Letzion Berina, we're going to leave the captivity, we're going to leave Golis, and we're going to return with joy to Yerushalayim. So he said, I remember my father used to get very excited and he would sing, but he didn't say Piduyim, he didn't remember the Hebrew Piduyim. He said in Russian, Padoyim, which means let us go. Padoyim. In Russian, I don't remember how to pronounce it exactly. Padoyim. Let's see on Marina. Let us go. And he started to say, Padoyim, let's see Marina, let us go to Yushlaber. And the Kushan Samaka got up. And he went with this guy, with this Yossel, the two of them, they held their arms together, and he said, come, Srulik! And the two of them went. And they walked out of the door, Padoyim, let's see in Marina! They didn't see him, they went walking like the whole night somewhere. Afterwards, they just went walking out towards the Yerushalayim, Padoyim, let's see in Marina! That's how it was by Kozhin Samaki. A person that's felt the bitterness of what it means not to be able to be a Jew. To go out from that. She says that, well, so let's go back on the pay dialogue. She says that after Shabbos was over, so then once again, Eved Nishba, all that was left was a broken Eved. Heminu ki osad Hashem l'galam. They read these Megillahs, and so they believed that the Baruch Hashem was going to take them out. They believed there's going to be a Gula. We also believe there's going to be a Gula. But the present circumstances that they were in, the nechias hakasha, you know, the reality, the present reality that they were living in, hakasha v'kol kach mor, that was so hard and so bitter. That's what was sitting in front of their eyes, not Yerushalayim, the way that it's going to be, but they were sitting in this terrible situation, so that's all that they could feel. Even they knew intellectually, they knew that there's going to be a redeemer, and they knew that Hashem is going to send the redemption. But because of the bitterness of the reality that they were in, they just couldn't. Once it came to after Shabbos, they would forget the beauty of their past, and they would forget the hope, the tikvosim ha'asidah, the hope that they had for the future. Harchik ma'ay, they became very far from them. That's how it is. Became very far from them. Kel oilam asachayim, it's like you're talking about another world. So you're talking about another world. My father said how when they were in the beginning, when they first came to the concentration camp, so I've told this to you before. My father said that, you know, they have in these books different things about how they stay up, you know, after they come back from work, and they go into their bunker and they lie on those disgusting planks, and there were filth and the rats running around. My father said that rats like dogs this big, and the crazy things going on. So it says in these books that they used to talk over Torah and different things. My father said he doesn't remember hearing anybody. So he said, I'll tell you what we used to talk about. We used to compare our mother's chongs and googles. We used to talk, and my mother used to put this in the chong. And then from across, says, oh, you don't know what a chong is. Let me tell you what a chong is. He remembers that's what they used to talk about. He said, maybe someone saying over, you know, someplace and some other, not in his place. He doesn't remember anybody saying Mishnah, he said, night. He said, who could remember anything? They were like, get clapped and hacked. But they would talk about, if I said in the beginning, they were talking about like, my mother's kugel was better than your mother's kugel. That's what the conversation was. And then, my father said that was in the beginning. But then, you know, they'd fall asleep, they're all zerbrochen. My father said, but then after a little while, that they just stopped with that. When the starvation, when it got to a point of like that it was beyond anything to talk, and they were so totally zerbrochen, then they would just fall down on it, and they couldn't talk. There was nothing to say. In the beginning, when there was still a zeicher, there was that you could think back and remember your mother. Remember, all of their mothers were dead, and to think back and to remember your mother, to remember the kitchen on Shabbos, and to remember, you know, the Erev Shabbos, and to remember what it was to be in that world. But then at some point it was just like too painful. You can't even go back to that place. You can't think about it. Because the contrast between that memory and the Metzius that you're in, it was too bitter. Like I once told you that Elie Wiesel said that he fell asleep one night and he was having a terrible nightmare, and he was screaming and yelling, and the guy next to him woke him up. That's when someone has a nightmare, you wake him up. So Elie Wiesel says that he told the guy, "What are you waking me up? My nightmare was better than what I'm in. This is worse than my nightmare, what we're living in." So if there's some time a person, if you think about, my father said they were like blanked out. They didn't cry anymore. In the beginning, there were some people that were crying. Like they would come back and they would cry, and this one misses this one, this misses his wife, this one misses a kid, this one misses a brother, a mother, a father. In the beginning, there was like, my father said, the first little time, there was crying and sobbing at night, and people, then it was nothing. Totally blank. So there was no, my father said, there was nothing. Nobody cried, nothing. No one cried. There was no crying. Just a horrible big krechts, a collective krechts and schluffen. But there was no one, you couldn't cry anymore. Because it took away from you your whole past. It was so painful to go to the past that you became numb. And what about looking forward to the future, to think that maybe, you know, there'll be... My father said there was only one thing. Because sometimes, you know, I would tell him, I'd show him the book, this thing I read, or I saw there was a film about it. My father said, it wasn't like that. There was only one thing. My father said, that moment of hunger, what can you do about it?
My mother says, as well, she says, it was
24/7. That's all.
To find
my father said,
anything
just that, what am I going to do with this hunger? That's all it was. So that a person would be lower, you know, to be lowered to such a chefza of starvation. So that's all it was. Of when's the next clump of the disgusting whatever they gave them? When's that coming? And how am I going to eat it? Am I going to eat it a little bit at a time? Am I going to save it? And this cheshbon, this mashal, all the time going through your head, like what to do with it, with the food, how and what and where. It wasn't even food. We wouldn't call it food. Nobody would even go. We wouldn't go within dalet amos of what they gave them. But that's what they. And there's all these cheshbonos. But to dream that there's going to be, you know, we're leaving, we're going to pocket Yivkeit, you know, that there's going to be a Moshe Rabbeinu and we're going to go out. So my father said, you were just lost in that machshav of starvation that was, it would eat away at you, and every part of you was just taken by that starvation. And you couldn't think outside of that. That's all there was, like an animal. That's all. The animal's only cheshbon is, schmeckt, and he's cooked looking for food. Everything's with food, that's all. And a person becomes a person's whole machshav is just like a behemoth. That's what happens. The ganas tikfasa ma'asida ha'cheit ma'ayit kalayim ma'asachem. It's a different world. In the beginning, it's still part of your world. In other words, I'm a person who comes from this house, and right now I'm in a bad situation. I'm in goals. But then at some point, it's like it's ayim ma'asachem. It's like a different. It's not from your world. It's a different world. It's like it never happened. You were never a kid growing up in some, you know, with a family and a nice home and having a normal life. It was never such a thing. It's k'ayilu masachayim. It's k'ayilu masachayim. And how you saw him k'daishim atahayim. Somebody tells him, yeah, and they just read on Shabbos, you were holy. Saw him k'daishim atahayim lavish. You were the most noble people in Mitzrayim when you first came, and we were the most chashuv of people. Sarim k'dayshim tayim, yesir atzadik, shvatim. Al zehay mikvar. That's a long time ago. It's bubba maizes, stories from the grandmothers. What's a magetas? It's not magetas. Kilo ba'ilam acher kein tuv hamashahayilahem ba'ilam elyan kaidim leidasam. The Rebbe says it's like when you tell someone what it was like when his neshama was, when he still, before he came to the world, when there was a candle that was lit over his head and he was learning Kol HaTorah Kula. Right, so you tell a Yid, you tell a Jew that's in a difficult situation, you tell him he's in misery, Ruchnis and Gashmis, and you tell him, do you know who you come from? Do you know who you once were? So it's like telling him the Gemara, you know. He says, yeah, I know. I was once inside my mother's womb, and there was a malach to teach me the whole time. Try telling to somebody, you know. Yeah, it was an afkamina. It's like so far for me. You're telling me something, a story that I was once upon a time that I was pure and holy. I was inside my mother's womb before there was anything bad. You make kedem, like the Eif talks about, and there was that's what he's referring to. Also, Nero, Behilu Nero Roshan, there was a candle that was lit on my head when I was inside my mother's womb. A malach, and I was with a malach, and I was learning Torah, and all of that's from another world. It's like you're telling somebody now about, and he says, yeah, that was not in this world. It was from a different world. I don't remember it. It's from a different world. That's what it was like when you would say to, when you would tell them, when it would come ready to Sunday, who they were and where they come from. The gam tikvasum higoyal nisraha kamehem. And the hope that they had for redemption was so far from them. Kila ba'olam acher to you. It's like you're talking about a different planet. Aber ba'olam hazeh, but what was in this world? What was the reality that they lived with? This is very poshut. Paro hu melech adir v'hamitzriyim noiksev. That's it. Paro is the all-powerful tyrant, and he's got his collection of thugs that are carrying out his will. That's all there is. Talk to me, Meisim, about what used to be, what's going to be. This is what is Paro v'noiksev. Then who and what are we? Hem b'nei Yisrael am bozui. We're a disgraceful people. Shuri ruach, broken spirit. Shuri haguf, broken body. Umiyama b'saras elo. You're talking about redemption. Who's going to make it through this whole? There's something in the future. Halavai, we should be able to get up tomorrow morning. Who's miyama b'tzaris eilu? Who says any of us are going to be able to survive these sorrows? You're talking about how beautiful it's going to be. We're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. There's going to be a gula. Who's going to be able to live through these sorrows? Who's going to be alive? There's going to be Yeshua. Nobody's going to be alive when the Yeshua comes. It's that crazy combination of Amunah and Yeyush. It's terrible. Of belief and of despair. They're together. Amunah in your head. There's this thing that you believe in. But in your heart you feel terrible yeish, terrible despair.
They're the opposite.
Yeah.
Faith is the opposite of
the opposite. Yeah. Mamsh the opposite. Gam amuna v'gam yeish. Lo mechassar in the amuna talk from hayeish v'tikva of the mehem. It's not because they were not believing Jews. It's not because they were unfaithful people. It's not because of that they were messiahish, that they were in despair, that they gave up. That's why they lost hope. Rak mishiv and ruach. It's that they were broken spirited. Mikaitzi ruach. The Leshom Wal Moshe says, Mikaitzi ruach, Mavada Kasha. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes and says, it's going to be good, going to be good, we're going to go out. Leshom Wal Moshe, Mikaitzi ruach, Mavada Kasha, Mikaitzi ruach. They just, what are you talking about? I just have to make it through this day. You're talking about this whole fancy thing. What's going to be? Mekaytzeruach ma'avayda kasha. It's mamsha pachet because in the Eish Kodesh, the descriptions that the Rebbe would live through a short time after is a mamish. This is exactly what he would describe while being in the milchama. Almost these words would come up again. Ach meshiv and rucham. It wasn't because they weren't that they didn't have belief. It's because they would say brachin. He would say this again later on, almost these exact same words. In order for there to be belief, there has to be kind of a human being that could believe. If you take away from someone his humanity, if you take away from somebody his being a human being, so who's supposed to believe? A human being can believe. An animal doesn't have any beliefs. So he says, who's going to believe? You need to have a human being that he could believe. The ruach hasheyamin, Where does Emunah come from? Emunah comes from a person who has a ruach of Emunah, a spirit within him. But if a person's ruach is broken, then where's the Emunah? Ubehem etzem ha'ish nirmas. But inside our ancestors, the etzem ha'ish, that the person was crushed, nirmas. Varuach namas. And the ruach had melted away. Ha'etzem ha'shayam nishba. The essence of a person that's capable of believing, the etzem, that knows what it means to believe, was broken. So it's not because they're not believing, it's because there's no human being to believe. There's no one that's left. It's all broken pieces. And the one, that person who could have hope, who's that person? He doesn't exist anymore. The person who could have hope has been crushed, has been shattered. So there's nobody there in that person. Because the person of that person, who that person really is, has been shattered. So whatever's left is a shade. You know, it's like a shadow of a person, some image of a person, something, but it's not the person. And only a person can have emunah. Only a person can have hope. Only a person can pull himself out of yeish. But if he's not a person, then v'isha she'kave nirtzatz. See, that's happening in a different way now. In this galus that we're in now, it's not happening. For the most part, it's not happening with this kind of physical deprivation and misery. But the tzura of galus that we're in now is with having lots of food, too much food, with everything. But the ish, to take away the ish, it's not that the Jew doesn't have emunah. I'm learning a lot about the emunah during the week. But the ish, the mensch, to crush the person, not with slavery, not with, but with depravity, craziness, with things that are not for human beings. Yeah, with democracy. The democracy is it sounds crazy, because all Jews ever wanted was to be part of a democracy, and they leave us alone. But now in this generation, the we're getting crushed by the democracy, and you could do anything you want. Do whatever you want. But the Seif Kol Seif is the same thing. There's no person to talk to. There's no person to talk to. You can look at young people now and have a glazed look. Their eyes are glazed over. And like they have, you can knock on this head. Is anybody here? Anybody home? So that's if he's with the drugs and with the alcohol and with the music. Then you can't even go with this. But even if it's not that, with all that stuff, there's nobody home. There's no ish. There's no person there. But even if it's not that, they're so glazed over with their tchotchkes, with their toys, with their gashmis, with the things. They're so glazed over. I went to give a shmuz there. I learned with a chevra in Manhattan in the firm, and when I came there, so one of the guys told me that at work there's a receptionist to somebody, a girl, she's not Jewish, and she asked, and the yidden was sitting around there. They're all firm people in the firm, except for a couple of these, a few others that are not, but almost everybody's firm. So the girl didn't understand. And she said in the Tamimas that go away. Listen to this, she said, is it a law that all Jews have to go to hotels for Passover? Because she hears like how everybody's talking. She's there for years. And she thought that there's a law. There's a Jewish law. It's part of Jewish law that all Jews have to go for Passover. And then some said, no, not at all. No, it's not a law. You can stay home. So she said, oh, that's much better, isn't it, to be home? That's what she said. The goita said that. It's not the tikriya for such a thing. The tikriya for that. That's how glazed over we are. That a shiksa that's sitting over there she's listening to Jews for 5 years talking about Pesach, and she thinks that there's a law that we have to go to a hotel. Not that there's a law that we shouldn't go to a hotel, but there's a law that we should go to a hotel. That's how glazed over. That's how, is anybody home? And that's why there's no stira. That's why we don't see a stira with all these things. That's why it's my daughter read to me, there was something he got in the mail. There's a group of boys that sing music. I'm sure they're very, very nice boys. I'm not saying on them anything bad. They're not saying on them. God forbid. I don't know them, and I'm sure they're good boys, and they want to do good. I don't mean it. So they named themselves after a part of the Talis Katan, they call themselves. And my daughter read to me, and I don't let any of this into the house, and my daughter read to me that there's an article somebody wrote about how one of the guys, he was playing the music, and he had his eyes closed, and he was swaying, and it like, what did it say? Like a chassid of old. You know, like the way that it was described, you know? And I just say, what's become of us, you know? A chassid of old. He doesn't have a saga of what that means. The person that's writing the article never saw a chassid in his life. Maybe in some picture that his parents have of a grandfather or something. Swaying. Where? It was talking about in a club. It was describing it was in a club. He was playing, I left that out. He's playing in a club, someplace in the village. And he's swaying with his eyes closed. Everybody is drinking and carrying on. Yidden and Havla, not Yidden, whatever. Carrying on. His eyes are closed, swaying like a chassid of old. I forgot the exact lush. It was worse than that. I don't remember the exact lush. Because it was a writer that wrote it nice. It was something like that. And that's a chassid. That's what it means to the eyes closed, swaying to the neguna. To what? That's how glazed over we are. We're like, there's no person anymore. There's no person. There's no one to talk to. And there is Aras Chasson. You have to excavate and dig and scream and cry and do a million things. That's why you see, like nowadays, every Rebbe has to be an entertainer. Soon, within a few years, the Rebbeim are going to be walking into class wearing clown suits. And with juggle, they're going to walk in with clown outfits. They're going to come in like that. That's a tip, because I'm not talking about to go to the hospital. I don't know, they're doing a regular classroom. They're going to walk into a classroom.
Rebbe,
I know, that's a big idea. They're going to go to the classroom. They're going to have to walk into the classroom. And they say, hey, kids, hello, boys. Bava Metzia time. And they have, like, you know, Shlaim Ochsen and a Sech Zapara on little colored balls. And they're going to do it. You'll see. You know, I'm joking. It's going to be. Maybe it already is. I don't know. I'm not up on the latest in the Inyanim curriculum in Chinuch, you know. But you know, you can't talk to anybody. You can't say anymore. You can't say anymore Shlaim Ochsen Metalis. You have to do something to make a film about Shlaim Ochsen Metalis, or to make a song about Shlaim Ochsen Metalis. You can't do anymore. Just Shlaim Ochsen Metalis. You have to do something to get Shlaim Ochsen Metalis, you know, off the Gemara. Into the head. this is a matzah of a different type of galus. And you talk to someone, you say, Rabbi, don't you want to daven? Why do you want to talk in shul? He looks at you like you're from the outer limits. If you remember that show, he looks at you from, like you're mamash from another. You're in shul. Isn't this a place for davening? Huh? That's if you're lucky. If you're not so lucky, he'll give you a mishaber, right? Why? If somebody wants to get up and gets up in the shul and stands on the beam and gives a clap and says, "Yidden, don't forget, there's Rabbi Yishlelem. We have to daven, we have to serve him," right? Can you imagine the island the Kiddush club? They're just about to leave. They're heading out the door, and they heard this guy stand up at the beam and say, "Jews, don't forget, there's a God. Let's daven." The guy's walking down to the Kiddush Club, will have him arrested. This guy arrested. They tell you, not arrested, not master, but they'll have him, you know, they'll recommend some help for him. Right? They'll get him some help. He's crazy. Not the guys in the Kiddush Club. not the guys who have such a hasaga to walk out, to leave the Baruch Shalom's Torah, to leave the Haftarah, to leave the Navi, to leave the Torah, or whatever it is, and to go like you'll excuse my goyish or shikarim, to go down and to they can't sit Bali Taiva, that they have to go take a drink before they make kiddush at home, or before they make kiddush at the davening, they have to go and horse around like kids. Kids don't do that. The children look at their fathers like they're such mud animals. And they have to go. That they have to go have a kugel or something to make kiddush, and that it's a mias. That every word of kiddush is a mias, and it's an insult to the Creator of the world, because they go out during the haftarah. Al kein berach Hashem is yom Shabbos v'ketshei. Al kein berach Hashem is yom Shabbos v'ketshei. And then laughing and having and stuffing themselves on cake and kugel, that they got to the kugel before the rest of the shul got to the kugel. So who's there to talk to? And if someone gets up and screams, Shabbos Hayom, no Yidden. They look at him like he's strange. There's something wrong with him. It's a different kind of galus. But the totza'ah, the result is, what the Rebbe is saying here, it's not that these Jews don't believe. It's the same thing with all of these, with the Kiddush Club members and all of these. It's not that they're not capable of believing in Hashem as Baruch, and it's not that they're not maminim. It's just that they're not anoshim. There's not a human being to talk to anymore. There's not a human being. It's just a working, getting ahead, new car, slick, orthodox, hip guy. There's no one to talk to. It's something else. It's not the tzur of a person that we saw by our fathers and grandfathers. It's not the same tzur of a person. That's what the Rebbe is saying over here, in a different way. So what about waiting for Mashiach? What about waiting for Mashiach? So the whole she'ifa for Geula, the whole she'ifa for redemption, is what the she'ifa for Geula is, when there's a person who feels that there's something missing in his life. When there's a person, years ago, I remember when we first came, there was somebody that said to me, "I'm telling this to you, that Be'emes, a conversation that, you know, there was some people were very upset." How come there's not Yom HaAtzmaut celebration? You're not making for the, when the shul started, how come you're not making, you know, for Yom HaAtzmaut? And I said, it's not because of any lack of my love for Shul, whatever it is, defining. So they said, well, don't you? I said that the Tachlis Bez Hashem is that there's going to be more of a hergish, more of a chush Bez Hashem over the years coming from here to go to Eretz Yisrael than from another place. And I said, why? So he said, what are you talking about? You don't even say hallel. You don't go to the parade and you know, none of this stuff. I said, that's not what gets a Jew to Eretz Yisrael. That just gets a Jew to Fifth Avenue. I said, how do you get a Jew to Eretz Yisrael? When a Jew remembers that he's a Jew. Because a Jew can't live without Eretz Yisrael. When you feel that you're a Jew, then you can't live without Eretz Yisrael. When a Jew dreams about being a better Jew, then he dreams about where could I become the best Jew that I could be, then that's part of the dream. Otherwise it's just Fifth Avenue. It's Fifth Avenue and special programs in school that if you don't do, then the thought police are going to arrest you, you know. But otherwise, it's nothing. That's not what gets a person to Eretz Yisrael. What gets a person to Eretz Yisrael, is a she'ifa for growing. A she'ifa for closeness to Hashem. That's what brought the Nevi'im to Eretz Yisrael. That's what brings every Jew to Eretz Yisrael. That's what it boils down to. So, when there's a person, when there's a Yid, but if the spirit is crushed, and the person's whole Metzias, his whole Metzias is what? Is his job on Fifth Avenue. So then, when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, he'll talk politics and he'll scream about this party and that party and I'm never going to vote for Netanyahu after what he did and all these different things, and he'll get upset and he'll talk about these things, but it's going to be very hard to pull him away from Fifth Avenue, because that's his place. It's Fifth Avenue. So So he'll talk about all these things, but you see, the Bnei Torah that are going to the yeshivas and spend years in Israel, other people that they go, that are people of idealism, people that have sheifas for going closer to Hashem Yisbarach. The sheifa, not that you can't be close to Hashem Yisbarach and go, so I'm not saying chas v'shalom. I'm saying, but that's in a certain kind of a neshama that has a deeper connection to Eretz Yisrael, when he starts to learn more Torah and he starts to get closer to the Rabbi Shalom, then it clicks. It opens something up inside of him that he wants to be in there. So with the tzaddikim, all the tzaddikim were always crying about with the sheifas to be connected to Eretz Yisrael from where they were. It has nothing to do with politics. It has to be a yid, a mensch. He says, "B'shar shekaros megilosayim, hamavtichim lamezgulasam." So then they would come Shabbos, and on Shabbos they would read. On Shabbos they would read the Megillas. They were promising the Geula. B'shar shekaros megilosayim, hamavtichim lamezgulasam. They would read the Megillas. They were talking about Geula. Come Ruach Yisraeli behem. Then for Shabbos, they would start to get excited. And the Ruach Yisraeli, that person and that Jew would start to rise inside. Feminosim neschaska, and their munah would become strengthened. Ugeshechosku, so it's saying, but then there they are. The next minute, they're back in the slave pit. And keshechosku, so it's saying, nothlohein, they would fall back into that again in a second. Vimohim, gam ruach emanosim nispaisets. And that whole ruach, that whole revival of spirit would just explode, would disappear. They tasted it on Shabbos, and then it would just go away. It would just disappear. Lo shomer al Moshe mikaytzi ruach umaveda kasha. They couldn't hear Moshe again. On Shabbos they could hear Moshe. On Shabbos they heard Moshe Rabbeinu. On Shabbos they had. There was the person Moshe Rabbeinu could talk to. just like even the guys from the Kiddush Club, you could talk to them by Ne'ilah, right? For sure, by Ne'ilah. They're not like that. No one's thinking about going after Kiddush during Ne'ilah. By Ne'ilah, they're holding for something. So there'd be that time, there'd be that where you'd see some life in the person's eyes. Where you see sometimes one of the slickbacks, you know, one of the guys like that, you see them coming back when, God forbid, a father died, Hashem Yirachim, a mother died, and then you see all of a sudden that look that they have normally, that, like, I know everything, can do everything look, you know? It just, like, disappears, and there's that little kid whose father left him. And then there's an opening, you know? There's that opening of somebody that's real, somebody to talk to. That they don't have to pretend anymore, they don't have to make believe. You know, with their little cute wife, with a little tight outfit going out Moshe Shabbos, you know, right after Havdalah, leaving the kids for the 10,000th time with their babysitter. They don't have to make believe anymore. His father passed away, God forbid, and the look of being glazed over, the ish, has returned. But why does it have to be such a thing? Someone to talk to. And Shabbos, Moshe Rabbeinu had someone to talk to. But then when Shabbos would end, Moshe Shabbos, not because of the theater, not because of the show, but mikaytzi ruach ma'avada kasha, a different type of an avos, being slaves. And now the Rebbe shifts gears. This is like the most amazing thing here. Now he starts to talk about the b'seira of Geula. If we start off at the beginning of this description, which is I think like Pei Aleph, I don't remember. No, even before that, by pay. Saying if you want it at the same table to be able to be able to be mekayim the mitzvah of v'yigadet levincha b'mahadvin min ha'mahadvin, right? Then what we need to do is just to bring the Hasharas Avraham to the table. The first night begin on daf on Amud. On page, huh? Where? Yeah, by pay, pay out, yeah.
Hey. Somewhere. Park sign. It's where a person has a natural inclination to uncover areas in Torah.
Yeah, okay, so I test type, and you begin, you don't have to talk about the new Rebbe, you're talking about how to use it, but the actual mind. And then over the two nights of Pesach, to try to go through this, and to translate it.
When you, I guess, you're yoytzel mahadrin min a mahadrin.
Mahadrin,
because now we're going to get to the yitzias and sign, right? So we're going to get to the good part. But for kaidim, you have to do the part before. So now it's going to be mahadrin min a mahadrin. Okay, we'll get ready for davening, and the good part gets shabbat. We're going to start.
Yeah, from